Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, so many people were crowding together that they were trampling one another underfoot. Jesus began to speak first to his disciples. Beware of the leaven, that is, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. There is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or secret that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the darkness will be heard in the light. Whatever you have heard whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed from the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but after that can do no more. I shall show you whom to fear. Be afraid of the one who, after killing, has the power to cast into Gehenna. Yes, I tell you, be afraid of that one. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 coins? Yet not one of them has escaped the notice of God. Even the hairs of your head have all been counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus does not say the word beware often. He does proclaim many woes, but that's a little different. To say beware, he really wants us on alert. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. St. Luke recalls how he defined that leaven. We know just a little bit of leaven can influence the entire dough. So he wants us to be aware of how a little bit of hypocrisy, like we see in the Pharisees, can truly grow and totally influence somebody's entire spiritual life. What is the hypocrisy of the Pharisees? We can look at it under 2 different angles. Jesus has been describing over the last few days in the Gospel. We didn't have it on the Feast of St. Luke, but it would have been Wednesday's Gospel as well. That they're actors. That's what the word hypocrite means in Greek. That they were faking it in a couple different ways. On the one hand, faking that they were religious by all their external deeds. Well, on the inside, they were plotting to murder Jesus. That's why he'll say, your ancestors slaughtered the prophets, but you build their monuments. While at the same time, you're recapitulating in your heart what led them to murder the prophets, that rejection of God. That there was a huge disconnect between what was on the outside by their actions and what was inside, between the fruit that seemed to be true and the deeds that were not. In essence, he was like a bunch of plastic fruit that some people, for whatever reason, put as decorations on tables. It wasn't there. St. Paul, throughout this week, in this 4-week course we have every 2 years in the letter of the Romans, has been talking about that type of acting among the Judaized Christians in Rome. They were proclaiming that they believed in God. But he was saying, do you believe that God actually saves you? Or do you believe that you are saved by yourselves? Through your own religious deeds? Do you really believe that you're saved by God's grace received and responded to through faith, as we were hearing yesterday? On the surface, they all were proclaiming they believed in God, that they all loved God. But there was this disconnect. in which they were saying, no, you wouldn't even be saved by the God who loves you unless you're circumcised, unless you keep all aspects of the Mosaic law. And that's why St. Paul today was featuring Abraham's faith that led to his works. His faith. He believed in God and it was credited to him as righteousness, as he said. He was made right with God through his faith. And it was that faith that led to his departure from Ur of the Chaldees. It was that faith that led to his believing at 75 that he would be a father, and that it continued even if he had to wait for 24 years to actually have Isaac conceived. That faith that led him to sacrifice Isaac. Abraham was not a hypocrite. Because he believed, he did. But his actions weren't a camouflage for lack of faith. So that's the first way of acting, where we pretend on the outside, even though on the inside there's not that type of genuine faith and desire for what the Lord wants. The second type of acting, the second type of leaven, where if there's just a little bit of it again, it can corrode one's own soul and then be able to spread, to infect negatively a whole religious community, a parish, a diocese, etc., is what results from fear. That we do believe, we do have faith. We're not externalists in the way that we live out our discipleship, but because fears eat us alive, we don't behave consistent with that faith. We know that God tells us that he loves 100 out of 100, but that person might be a little bit of a challenge and I'm kind of timid, and so I'm not really going to say how much God loves that person on the one hand, show that love by a fraternal correction on the other, or any other type of interaction that we know is needed in that circumstance. Our fears can eat us alive so that we do not act by faith. On the one hand, there can be the leaven of that faking it, where the heart's far from God. On the other hand, there can be that negative leaven of fear that can corrode everything so that we don't behave consequent with the gospel. That's why, with regard to the second, that Jesus confronts our fears. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage. He reminds us that there's going to be no acting in the final analysis. Everything that's happening inside is going to be exposed. If our heart's really wicked, the whole universe, everybody who has ever lived is going to see that at the general judgment. There's no getting away with it. But also, all of those fears will likewise come to the surface. And so, just know it. Because he wants us to align with integrity the tree and the fruit. But then he goes and he says, don't be afraid. Those who can kill the body, but after that can do no more. The devil's greatest weapon is to use our fear against us. And Jesus wants to confront that straight on. Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but after that can do no more. This is what inspires martyrs to become martyrs. That they're not afraid of letting their earthly tent be dissolved because they have a greater dwelling place with God, as St. Paul would write to the Corinthians. If you're not afraid of those threatening to kill you, then that type of fear is at the root of every other fear. If you know, even when you die, that you're still in the Lord's hands, it robs people of that power of intimidation. That's why the cross is so key. Prior to the resurrection of Jesus, the apostles were afraid. They scampered when the guards came for Jesus in the garden. Peter denied 3 times even knowing the Lord. But after the resurrection, after seeing that not even a brutal public execution could keep Jesus down, when the same Sanhedrin that had done this to the Lord were threatening Peter and John and the other disciples to do the same thing to them, they were unabashed. They continue to proclaim the faith because they know that the crucifixion would just be a transient experience, and that the joy after that was what they were keeping their eyes on. So Jesus says, don't be afraid, even of those who really can take your life. I'll tell you who to be afraid of, he says. And I think you really have to see Jesus with a smile on his face as he says this. Be afraid of the one who after killing has the power to cast into Gehenna. Yes, I tell you, be afraid of that one. Who's he talking about here? He's not talking about the devil. The devil does not have the power to cast into Gehenna. Only God has the power to be cast into Gehenna. And so he says, be afraid of God, fear God, have awe of God. Don't so much worry about what that leader can do to you. Worry about what the King of Kings can do to you. Oh yeah, and by the way, about this King of Kings, this is the way I want you to approach him. Not with that type of paura or miedo or medo in the other languages. Fear that somehow he's going to hurt you. With a reverential awe, this is the one you need to fear. The one who counts all the follicles on your scalp, and the one who deems you far more valuable than all the sparrows of the world. I want you to fear him, think of him, focus on him rather than on all the rest. Beware of the leaven, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. But then Jesus elsewhere will call us to be a totally different type of yeast for the world, and will describe how the kingdom grows just a little bit of this type of holy integrity, this reverential awe for the Lord, this true faith that similarly can grow like that leaven and dough, like a mustard seed, so that all the sparrows can come and rest in its branches. Today the church celebrates the 150th anniversary of the canonization of St. Paul of the Cross, one of the greats over the course of time. And I think, if I could be so bold, someone to whom the Sisters of Life should have a particular devotion. Because I am absolutely convinced that when Cardinal O'Connor was celebrating Mass there at his titular church in Rome, that chapel of St. Paul of the Cross is off to the right transept. It's one of the most beautiful chapels in the entire city. Architecturally extraordinary. And you've got his open glass tomb with his death mask and his body laid out underneath that altar. Doubtless he was praying there as he was responding to God's call to call the Sisters of Life. Doubtless he was praying there when there were various obstacles in your history. Doubtless he was praying there that he might be worthy to be the founder of the Sisters. So we should all have a special devotion to him. As a young boy, his mom trained him in the school of the cross, how not to be afraid of the cross, but actually to love God on the cross. Whenever he was suffering in any way, his mother would just show him the crucifix so that he would be able to recognize the value in suffering together with God out of love for him and out of love for others. Over the course of time, he suffered various physical ailments. He had become a soldier in his young 20s because he wanted to be a martyr. But while he was heading out to battle, he stopped to visit the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. The Lord showed him that he wanted him to be a spiritual warrior rather than a warrior on an earthly battlefield. And he became that great warrior. When he was 26, relatively old at the time, for founders, for religious, The Lord gave him a vision of what his habit would be. Totally black habit, but over the heart would be a white heart with a cross. And then Passio Jesu Christi would be written there. And the Lord said, behold the image of a heart that's pure so that it can really bear the inscription of Jesus Christ. Each of our hearts, like Paul of the Cross's heart, needs to be true, needs to be pure. We can't just proclaim, lift high the cross, the love of God proclaim, till all the world adore his holy name. We can't just sing it and then become styrophobic the whole rest of our life and run away from the crosses, have a real fear for the cross. We can't hear Jesus' words. If you wish to be my disciple, deny yourself, pick up your cross every day and come follow me. Unless we're able over the course of time to be able not just to sing, but to have every cell in our body scream what was our entrance antiphon for today's Mass. Start to echo St. Paul saying, I will boast in nothing but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified to me and I to the world. That I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer even I who live, but Christ who lives within me. In the faith I now live, I live in the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That our heart has to bear the inscription of the passion of the Lord. For that to occur on our heart doesn't mean it's going to be stripped and just in total abnegation and annihilation, because the cross is not fundamentally a sign of pain, but of the love that makes even that much pain bearable. And the Lord has, in our baptism, inscribed our heart in that way, no matter what our habit is. And so as true Christians, in order to be this leaven, it all starts by not being afraid of death, not being afraid of pain, not being afraid of the cross, but seeing in all of these the means by which God wants to grow within us and plant us as a counter-leaven to the leaven of the Pharisee. Today, as we come forward to the altar, we remember the real source and the summit of St. Paul of the Cross's life. The cross was not just something he adored. His heart was not just inscribed with a habit. But every time he came as a priest and held the body and the blood of the Lord that was pinned to the tree on Calvary and shed, every drop of which was enough to save the whole world, he came back to the real essence of this cruciform life, and he sought to unite himself in total adherence to this Eucharistic way of life, so that all things he did, he would unite to the Lord on the cross. Today we come forward rejoicing that the Lord, in fact, does treat us so much more than all the sparrows, and that he gives us the only thing that's worthy of his love, himself, so that what he calls us to, he can help effectuate from the inside out, if only we align our entire life to the one we are about to receive. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.